Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You would know that every quarter or so we speak to JSE listed CEOs who give us some insight into their company results and performance. A few weeks ago, we spoke to Pieter Engelbrecht. He's the group CEO of ShopRite. And as you remember, we unpeeled and unpacked various aspects of the group and how it managed to record sales and profits once again. Well, bear in mind, as an employee, an executive of the business, that he too is earning a salary from the entity. And given that the JSE listed compliance and themes and rules and regulations around that do call for disclosure, Pieter Engelbrecht is walk away with an 83 million rand salary from ShopRite this year, as per their latest financial results. Now, this brings to mind the question around executive pay in the country. In previous years, we've spoken about the likes of Sibanye Stillwater, CEO. We've spoken about ShopRite, former CEO, Whitey Person. But just essentially a better understanding of executive leadership, the talent and skill that is required to lead businesses of this nature in South Africa, but more so, executive pay. So where are we? Are we paying top dollar for local talent in what appears to be a global race? To help put things into perspective for us is Director for Executive Reward, Tax and Legal Services at PwC South Africa, Makosazana Mabaso. Kosi, such a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Kuku. Thank you so much for having me and good evening to your listeners.
Excited to have this one with you, and I can imagine that it brings about great debate depending on who the table might be joining at the table for this discussion. But maybe let's just start by getting, you know, clarity on the PwC Director's Remuneration and Trends Report. You've been doing this for a while as a business. It typically tracks the salaries of JSE listed executives, but give us some context as to, you know, what the data and insight essentially does reveal and bring forth to our knowledge.
I think you've summarized it really well, Gugu. I mean, we've been doing this for more than 10 years now. And the idea behind it is that we summarize or we look at executive director remuneration together with the non-executive directors, because shareholders hold both accountable, and just look at trends in terms of a pay perspective, where we're going. And it's a report that helps us look at where we're going forward and where pay is basically going. And if you're looking at executive director, I think you've rightfully said now there has been an increase in pay. But I mean, this is looking at it from a total remuneration perspective, where we see CEOs getting an 8% uplift from a total pay perspective and CFOs getting a 19% uplift from a total pay perspective. Mm. We'd have to break it down into the different elements to basically understand the why behind the increase. And when you basically break it down into the different elements of pay, you realize that when you look at fixed pay, it basically went up by between 4% and 8% for CEOs and CFOs respectively. The big push basically comes into the bonus structures and the long-term incentive structures,
yes,
where we saw approximately a 40% increase in long-term incentives for CEOs. Mm. So more than anything, for us, it just indicated that there is a shift in pay mix where we're seeing a higher weighting towards those long-term incentives that are being awarded to executives, as opposed to the typical a third that we previously observed.
I think this is so telling, right? And looking at those figures, double digits, Kosi, has many of us being envious of the growth that they see. But let's talk about the structure of these particular incentives, as you say, short-term, long-term, and perhaps other aspects that are tied in to make up this matrix. Number one, are we finding that it does lead to not only improved pay for the executives, but fundamentally based on the improved performance of the business, and also a heightened level of retention? Because I also understand that as a business, you want to ensure that any executive at the helm of your strategy and its execution is someone who stays within the organization for a while.
Well, if you look at the structures, Gugu, and specifically long-term incentives, they're very much geared towards, and specifically from a South African perspective, incentives that are very much performance-based. Our shareholders are very adamant in that regard to say that if we are going to give you share-based awards, they have to have long performance conditions in place. So it looks at a very variety of elements now. So you've got this long-term incentive that's being awarded to executives that's meant to address retention, one, but also because of the fact that there are performance conditions that are attached to it, it's supposed to also then increase the performance of the company, which means that you're delivering value to your shareholders, but also to the wider stakeholders, being your employees, whether in the form of increases or other forms of benefits, but also just like the wider community that we get to interact with as companies. Mm. So seeing the shift towards long-term incentives means that our executives are focusing on the long-term, and I think this is what we want to see, focusing on the long-term performance of companies. They're being forced or being directed by shareholders to focus on that element of it, which then links to the sustainability of these entities, because the more you look at long-term, the more you start thinking sustainable. Is my entity sustainable? Mm. Can it stand the test of time?
What is also so intriguing here is the perhaps median of total remuneration to CEOs. And I guess simply put, we'd put it as, the earnings that they have. I spoke about Pieter Engelbrecht a moment ago, an 83 million rand in this financial year. But 10 years ago, Whitey Poisson walked away with 100 million rand, and that caused quite a stir, I recall, in the headlines. I'm quite keen, if you can take us through the numbers and what it is that we see. The average CEO, CFO of a JSE listed firm, how much do they typically walk away with in terms of remuneration?
So if you're looking at it from a total remuneration perspective, and I'll focus on the medians here because this is where we look at the midpoint of the data set. Looking at the CFO, you are looking at approximately 12 million rand. So it's approximately 12.6 in total remuneration, mm-hmm. 5 million of which is in a form of total fixed pay, and then 3 million in a form of long-term incentives, with approximately 4 in short-term incentives. If you're looking at CEOs, it's approximately 21 million rands from a total compensation perspective. And this is looking at total guaranteed pay, short-term incentives, and long-term incentives.
Makhosa, and I'm assuming this is also driven by different factors, right? Because that's just the median, and as you say, like the midpoint, the absolute average. But as we've seen, according to, annual reports and results that are shared by companies, this can vary depending on which sector the industries in, the actual performance of the company, any particular deals or, cash flow dynamics within the business too. Does that play an influence in the, I guess, salaries and remuneration packages of CEOs too?
Most definitely, because specifically the bonuses element of it and the long-term incentives element of it. So if you're looking at the bonuses element of it, there's obviously performance that's linked. How has the company performed? Has it performed well this year? Has it not performed well this year? What performance conditions were you tracking? What targets did you have in place? And how has that translated to company performance? And then looking at long-term incentives as well, it's just looking at those factors as well, saying, has the company performed? Has it not performed? We see quite a lot of our long-term incentives being linked to the share price as well. Yes. So then there's also that element of it where if you're looking at a specific company and the share price has performed really, really well, you will find that the long-term incentives will be on the higher end because it's just one of the factors that pushes it up.
Kosi, what do we see when it comes to the gender mix? We're well aware that there's still a shortage of female executive CEOs, though there's been significant gains and progress that has been made. But what's the split there in terms of fair pay or gender representation?
I think we're well aware of the fact that there's quite a long way to go for South Africa from a gender perspective, because at a CEO level, we're still seeing female CEOs sitting at 8% of the population. So it's 8% of our CEOs being female, with the remainder being males. With CFOs sitting at 25%, it's a little bit better, but there is some work to be done there. I think whilst we do know that from a CEO perspective, there's still the gender pay gap when we compare males and females, that's sitting at approximately 9%. The positive is that at a CFO level, we're actually seeing the inverse, where females are paid a premium compared to their male counterparts.
That's important, and at least we are seeing some of that progress taking place there. What about racial diversity?
Race is more or less similar to the gender representation, where it's still approximately sitting at 20% for CEOs. So it's still on the lower end, with CFOs sitting at 28% of ACI representation. So CEOs are at 20% ACI.
ACI,
the bulk of
for?
That ACI being African colored and Indian. Gotcha. And if we had to break down that 20%, 15% of that is is African CEOs. When we look at CFOs, it's approximately 28% of the population that is African, colored, and Indian. Again, on with the statistic, it's basically 12% of that 28% is African, with 4% being colored, and then the remainder being Indian or Asian. Looking at the remuneration, it is a little bit positive compared to the gender pay gap, where when we look at the CEO representation or the CEO data set, we found that our ACI candidates are earning a premium compared to their white counterparts. And when it comes to CFOs, there's little to no differentiation between the different races of CFOs.
Got you. There's the intriguing part of this conversation, which always comes to mind, Kosi, I can imagine the number of engagements you've had on this matter, is, are we paying too much for our CEOs? And perhaps it's not a question you can answer, but give us a global comparison and help us understand the competitive dynamics. Because some of us think, well, it's a CEO in a Johannesburg Stock Exchange listed entity operating in South Africa and maybe some markets across the continent. Surely they shouldn't be earning this much. But what have your observations been, and what are the key takeaways we should be mindful of from the report?
I mean, if you look at it from a South Africa perspective, and looking at where we are as a country, we're grappling between transparency and fair pay, and this is why we've got the Companies Act amendments bill out there, as well as the Fair Pay Bill. And we'll see the numbers from a CEO and CFO perspective, because they are executive directors. Looking globally, we found that the UK is actually at a phase where there are competing for global talent, specifically with the US. And we reached out to our colleagues in the UK, and they indicated that round about 2023, they found that the US was paying approximately 2.25 times more than the UK was paying. And because of that, they found that between 2023 and 2025, companies basically increased quantums in terms of long-term incentives that were being awarded to executive directors, or in certain instances, they basically had a hybrid approach where they were awarding performance-based shares, but also retention-based shares. Looking at it now, that ratio or that multiple has decreased to 1.85 times, but globally, we're definitely seeing a competition for talents, which is pushing pay up from a UK perspective. But that element that's basically being pushed up is the long-term incentive component of it.
I see. And I was going to say that's important, because as you say, we are really seeing the world has become a smaller place and a lot more open, and executives in our country can be executives anywhere else in the world. I'm also intrigued just to see, you know, if there is perhaps a shift or a change that you're seeing when it comes to remuneration committees. They sit as a sub-board committee, often offering some kind of guidance ensure fairness, responsible alignment as well with the company's strategic goals, as well as executive compensation. Any shifts that we've seen there in the last 10 years since the inception of this report?
If we had to look at shifts from a remuneration committee perspective, there's been a number that we've been observing over the past 10 years, and I'll just mention a few. I've just mentioned now the Companies Act amendments, and I mean, even before that, we had King 4, which basically advocated for transparent and fair remuneration, which led to a lot of our remuneration committees looking at remuneration that's being awarded at executives, but also to the wider employees, in assessing whether it's fair and basically ensuring that they can defend the decisions that they're making. We now have the Companies Act that's taking it a bit further, and it's basically saying you now need to disclose the pay ratios. You might have been calculating them when King 4 came into existence, but now you actually need to disclose the ratios that you've been calculating. And just again in June, there was the Fair Pay Bill that said you need to be transparent in terms of the pay scales. So the shift is moving from we will analyze and make the decisions to transparency, more transparency, being open with information when it's required. But from a shareholder perspective, there's also been an increase in shareholder engagement, being upfront with information, going to your shareholders more regularly and just engaging them on the decisions that you're making on remittances. So those are the three big shifts that I've basically observed from a remuneration committee perspective.
Mm-hmm. And maybe on shareholder engagement, I think that's a huge one. At some point, there used to be very robust engagements that would take place within AGMs, questioning the remuneration policies and structures. Is that still a very vibrant and heightened level of engagement that's taking place now?
It still very much is one, but I think with King 4, which basically required that in instances where you had a less than 75% vote in favor of your own policy, you had to engage your shareholders and make sure that you basically address their concerns. Companies have taken the approach that rather engage before you get the negative vote as opposed to after. So it's better to be proactive than reactive. Mm. But shareholders are still very much vocal in terms of what their concerns are. And this is why you will see in our report that we analyze the votes that have been below 50%. So in instances where the votes that have been below 50%, what those were. And I mean, you'll see that if you look at last year compared to this year, those have gone up from 2.6% to 5.4%. And these are instances where there hasn't necessarily been upfront communication in terms of decisions that the REMCOs are making. So there's still engagement, but there's been an approach has changed from a reactive to more proactive.
100%. Makhosa Zana, such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am, and happy 10th anniversary, I guess, on the Director's Remuneration and Trends Report. We appreciate your insights tonight.
Thank you so much, Gugu.
Makhosa Zana Mabaso, Director for the Executive Reward, Tax and Legal Services at PwC South Africa. It's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Let us know. What do you make of this conversation and, of course, the reality of executive pay in South Africa? And yes, I know it's a very emotive one, right? Because South Africa also finds itself in quite a unique position of inequality, high levels of unemployment. And, of course, our checkered past doesn't also make it easy for many of us to find levels of equity and reform that we call for. Yes, progress has been made in some spaces, but there's still a great deal of frustration that is often echoed and shared and voiced amongst many corners of society. So share your views. Average salary of a CEO, around 21 million. Bear in mind, that's not the total package. Sometimes it's made up of long-term incentives which have produced greater outcomes in terms of rewards for executives in South Africa. Any of my executive friends, feel free to share anonymous voice note. Maybe I'm putting you on the spot here. But hey, share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. Do you think we're paying too much for executive leaders in the country? Or is it just part of the strategic leadership that we need to ensure we reward?
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.